So today we're jumping right into an exploration into the source material that looks at, well, probably history's ultimate boogeyman. I mean, we are talking about the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, it's definitely a heavy topic, but we're looking at it through a really specific lens today, which is Joseph de Maistre's 1815 letters on the Spanish Inquisition.
Right. And it is just a completely counterintuitive take because, usually you picture dark dungeons and horrific torture, but he actually defends the tribunal.
He really does. He wants to dismantle that whole bloodthirsty church monster image and show it as something, well, much more political.
And that was a huge aha moment for me. De Maistre argues it wasn't really this purely priestly invention, right? He calls it a completely royal institution.
Exactly. I mean, the king was actually the one who appointed the Inquisitor General, so it wasn't just about hunting heretics. It was basically statecraft.
It was a tool for national unity, right? Because the state was dealing with all these fragmented religious factions threatening the country at the time.
Yeah, it was a political shield. And De Maistre points out this one specific mechanism that really riles up modern readers, which is the secular arm.
Oh, right, the secular arm. Because technically the church officially abhors blood, right?
Right, so the tribunal would find someone guilty, but then they'd charge the civil authorities to treat the criminal with mercy, even while literally handing them over for execution.
Okay, wait, I have to ask, isn't that just a 15th century good cop, bad cop routine?
Well, it definitely sounds exactly like that to us today.
I mean, it really feels like the church is just outsourcing its PR problems to the king. Like, hey, we didn't kill him, the guy with the axe did.
It's a fair point, but from his perspective, that legal distinction was absolutely vital. It meant the power of life and death actually stayed with the state law, not the faith.
Got it. And he uses that logic to debunk a lot of the monstrous myths of the era, doesn't he?
He does. He goes after English travelers specifically, like Reverend Townsend, who wrote all these wild stories about the Comedero.
Right, the Quemadero, which was supposedly this permanent scaffold for burning people.
Exactly. And De Maistre just completely mocks it using basic physics.
Because obviously, a wooden scaffold built for burning would just, well, it would burn itself down during the very first execution.
Yeah, exactly. He argues the horror was totally exaggerated for political theater. And then he brings up this incredible case of Ignacio Rodriguez.
Oh, the beggar. The guy who was distributing love potions and practicing necromancy.
Right, so you'd expect him to get thrown in a dark dungeon, right? But his actual punishment was just being marched through the streets.
While the public literally offered him biscuits and wine, I mean, that is definitely not the Inquisition from the movies.
No, not at all. De Maistre argues the tribunal often acted like a court of equity. It actually mitigated the really harsh civil laws of the time.
Which leads into this concept he calls mean happiness. And I mean happiness sounds like a terrible corporate slogan.
It really does. But it's actually a pretty calculated social theory.
Right. It's kind of like a fire break in a forest. You do a controlled burn of a few trees to stop a massive inferno from taking out the whole forest.
That is a great way to put it. His argument is that a few strict sentences basically prevented the oceans of blood that we saw in the religious wars in France and England.
So he's looking at the pure utility of it. And to really drive that home, he turns the mirror around on his 19th century English audience.
He does, and he pulls no punches. He lists their own penal laws against Catholics as being far more detestable.
The details are brutal. I mean, he talks about priests being stretched on the rack until they were half a foot longer.
Yeah, and women like Mrs. Clitheroe being pressed to death between boards.
He's basically weaponizing that hypocrisy. He's asking why England's state protection is called justice, but Spain's is monstrosity.
Because his core belief, right, is that unity of faith is the only thing that prevents a nation from falling into what he called total delirium.
Right.
He truly believed Spain's detestable tribunal saved it from the kind of absolute chaos that tore apart France during the revolution. It was a stabilizer.
Okay, but I have to push back a little here. I mean, that whole stability trade-off is pretty dark.
Oh, it is definitely a heavy trade-off.
Because he's essentially arguing that as long as the streets are quiet and there's no revolution, it's perfectly fine to clamp down on every dangerous thought. Isn't that just peace through state-sponsored terror?
Well, that's the ultimate tension in his whole philosophy. For him, individual dissent is the spark that starts the forest fire.
Right, but is a unified society actually worth anything if everyone is just terrified to speak their mind?
That's the big question. He clearly values collective order way above any individual's right to be wrong.
It's a really jarring perspective. We've seen de Maistre's view of the Inquisition not as a historical accident of cruelty, but as a calculated political shield.
Yeah, a necessity in his eyes.
Which, you know, leaves us with a pretty provocative thought to mull over. If a society decides that social stability is more important than individual expression, does something like the Inquisition become a logical necessity rather than a historical mistake? Just something to think about.